Bible is the book of Revelation, which means into the future. So the Word of God is a book that takes you from the beginning into the future. So therefore it encompasses all of time. It encompasses everything that has to do with mankind. The book of Revelation for so many years was taught as a closed book in many churches by many good men. That is a shame, because this is one book in the Bible that promises a blessing for those who read it. Amen. The book of Revelation is opened up for you now tonight. And the book of Revelation has opened for you this past Tuesday. The events that you have seen transpire and will see transpire in the next few days are found recorded in this book. In the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, you have what's called the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the four riders. These are the riders on the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse. They've been, in our society, in our culture, they've been kind of dramatized, or they've been turned into kind of icons and really taken out of their meaning. Like, for example, if you do an internet search and type in the word Antichrist, you'll have every nut in the world come up on your screen. Yeah, right. Everything under the sun is associated with the Antichrist, and most of it's just a bunch of junk. The Antichrist is going to show up in due time. The four horsemen of the apocalypse are four prophetic revelations given by seals that are opened after the church is caught out of the world. Seals lead to trumpets. Trumpets lead to vials. They lead in intensity until you get to the vials, and it is very intense. Amen. Men are dying with horrible sores. The oceans are turned to blood. The vegetation is burned up. And all hell itself is turned loose on the face of the earth. Amen. These four horsemen of the apocalypse, I believe, gives a little short synopsis of what's going to happen later on, described in the Bible in a broad spectrum. So for just a little short synopsis, just a little quick undertaking, these four horsemen will show you what's about to take place. In Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1, I saw when the Lamb opened the one of the seals and heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now who is this rider on the white horse? This is not the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes on a white horse in Revelation chapter number 19, verse 11. "And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." But the writer in Revelation chapter number 6 is an imposter of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, in all of the ecumenical services that you're having, and they're having them daily now, Oprah had one this afternoon. You understand that Oprah is a New Ager. She worships some mystical Netherland god somewhere up there that nobody knows anything about. Remind yourself tonight that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has nothing to do with ecumenicism. But they're up there constantly praying to God. They're talking about God. They're praying to God. And they want God to do this and they want God to do that. Let's replace the word God with Jesus. And every time you say God, say Jesus. For Jesus is God. And then, my friend, when you begin to get yourself in that type of mindset, you realize that you've got all kinds of people today who are trying to pray for America that are talking to false gods and no more than the world than a stump or something that's carved out with human hands. They know not of whom they speak. It's not boasting and arrogance in here tonight. It's the simple fact that I know whom I have believed. And I know this Bible is God's Word. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way there is to heaven. But there's a false Christ coming on the scene, and that's exactly who they're talking about in their ecumenical services. A false Christ, pseudo-Christos. False Christ, someone who comes on as Christ, as a Messiah, as a leader of the world. And so this first Christ, when he shows up, will cause all the world to worship him, Revelation 13. He'll cause all the world to receive a mark, Revelation chapter 13. He'll cause all the world to fall down before an image that's made to him and worship him as God, Revelation chapter 13. So should we be looking for something tonight that would help the Antichrist prepare the world, especially the United States, for this mark that is soon to come? Yes, we should. First of all, I've already talked to you about ecumenicism. Ecumenicism is the religion that draws all the world together under one banner, one God, and they all come together and pray to the same God. The only way that you can pray to the Lord God Almighty is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But then there's also his mark that's recorded in Revelation 13. The mark is used so that he's able to control masses of people. The idea of the mark is so he can put his mark on those that he owns. He owns them from that day forth. Once they take that mark, Revelation 14, it seals their doom in hell forever. It's either in the forehead or in the hand. It's a horrible thing. It's a fatalistic thing to think that somebody, just so they could buy something to eat, would take a mark. But friend, let me warn you, as I did this morning, the mark is around the corner. It's much clearer. It's much, much sooner than you think it's going to show up. Let me give you just a couple of things that have happened in just the last few days. The National Security Agency of the United States of America has a thing called Echelon. Echelon has the ability to track every single form of communication on the face of this earth, whether it be by television, whether it be by shortwave radio, whether it be by cell phone, whether it be by a simple radio set, whatever it is, it has the ability to track every single electronic communication, email, anything. It's called Echelon. The United States of America has that. That could be a good thing. You could use that to find terrorists. You could find them as they communicate with each other. You could break into their line. You can find out what they're planning to do and save some innocent lives. But it could also be used for bad, for it can also track you. It can track everything you say, everywhere you go, everything you do. That capability is not 20 years down the road. That capability, that technology is already in place as I speak to you tonight. Not only that, but the chairman of Oracle, the CEO that created one of the largest computer industry-related companies in this country, has just made this offer to the United States government. He has worked in close relationship with the FBI and the CIA. And here's what he does. He offers to give the government high-tech help to fight against terrorism. How? By a national ID card. So by use of terrorism, this country now is ready to accept something that it rejected a month ago for the greater good of all of mankind. I want people to be protected. I want to find this man. I want to find the killers. We want to stop them before they come in and kill and maim more people. But a national ID card is far more than just your mugshot on a card. It has your personal identity on that card. It has things about you, who you are, where you go, who you know, where you came from, where you're going. A lot of personal information about you that can be tracked, and it can control who you see, who you buy from, who you sell to. A national ID card, therefore, is an invasion into your privacy to a degree that has never been known anywhere in this world. And this national ID card can be a good thing in fighting terrorism. We've got to fight terrorism. We've got to do something to stop the monster. But in doing that, you're laying the groundwork for the man of sin to cause the whole world to receive his mark. See how slick the devil is? See how smart he is? As I told you this morning, the best you can do is to try to keep up with him. You'll never get ahead of him. The only one that's ahead of him is the author of this book. If you'll read the Bible, you'll know what's coming. You may not know all the specifics of it, but you'll know what's coming down the pipe. And so the rider of the white horse, my friend, already has the infrastructure ready for him. He has the people ready for him. He has the mindset ready for him. And my friend, it's just a simple matter now of him stepping on the stage of time and taking hold of the reins of mankind. Oh, how he waits for that day. You wouldn't believe how he waits for that day. In the book of Daniel chapter number 8 and verses 23 through 25, it says, in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Here is one that knows all technology. He knows all the covert. He knows all of the CIA, the FBI, and all of every Mossad and all the agencies of the world. He knows all about how all of it works because he understands dark sentences. All I know, as Will Rogers used to say, all I know is what I read in the papers. Sure don't know much. And so he'll understand dark sentences. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy wonderfully, and shall destroy, and shall prosper rather, and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people, which causes some to put the church of God here. And as I've said to you so many times before, the holy people that show up in Daniel chapter number 7 and Daniel 8 are tribulation saints. They are those who are strictly warned not to take the mark of the beast. If you are a born-again child of God today, hallelujah, you're going up, and you don't have to worry about that mark. But warn your family members, because people are brainwashed today. They don't have a clue about what I'm talking about. And so the Bible says, and through his policy he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart. He'll think he's really something. and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the apostle says to the church at Thessalonica, whom the Lord shall destroy with the power of his coming, the brightness of his coming. He'll burn into ashes before them. His body will be given to the burning flame, and his soul and his spirit cast into hell fire, into the lake of fire. Jesus is coming again. He's mad because he's the Lord God Almighty. He will not share his glory with another. Either you tonight believe that Jesus Christ is the God, the only God there is, the Lord God Almighty, or you're an ecumenist tonight. You either believe the Son of God is the only way to salvation, the only name given among men whereby we must be saved, or you're in your heart, your soul, you're an ecumenist. You believe that there's a lot of different ways to get to the top of the mountain and everybody means well, and they're going all to the same place. No, they're not. There's only one way, and it's by the blood of the cross. Amen. I believe that Jesus Christ... You know one of these... Did you know that one of the hijackers said the other day, Muhammad Atta, they are now saying that he was the ringleader, and they are saying that that's very unusual for the ringleader to kill himself, but Muhammad Atta is supposed to be the ringleader. He gave out a note the day before they boarded those planes and said to every one of his lieutenants, he said, prepare to meet thy God. And the next day they crawled on those planes and met their God. And their God is the God of the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There is a God that is opposed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And his name is Satan. And he went to his God. So my friend, the rider of the white horse, has set for him. And my friend, not only that, but you're aware of the fact that our president has chosen a national homeland security. A czar. He's the governor of the state of Pennsylvania. He's probably a fine man. And he loves his country. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not trying to be critical at all. But I'm saying to you tonight, that man will have in his power the ability to control the CIA, the FBI, the National Security Agency, and all these other agencies, because they fight among themselves. They will not transfer information. They won't communicate, fighting over turf, just like the BATF and like the FBI and some of the other law enforcement agencies in the past have had problems communicating and getting along with each other. Then they tell us that they have appointed this man because they want one man who will say to the FBI and to the CIA, communicate. Amen. And so what have you got? You've got one man with enormous power. Yes, the director of the Central Intelligence Agency is a powerful man. The head of the FBI is a powerful man. But if you've got a man that's over the FBI and over the CIA, you've got a powerful man. Amen. So what's happened? Drastic steps have been taken to fight terrorism. Is it a good thing to fight terrorism? Yes. But you're not children of darkness, you're children of light. Watch. Keep your eyes open. Look. Listen. Pray. Ask God to give you wisdom. For we live in a time of deception, if there ever was. In verse number 3, when the second seal is opened, the Bible says, when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat upon to take peace from the earth. Have you seen peace taken from the earth? How many of you are really awake tonight to what we're in? I think we're in denial now. I think we are. And I think a lot of people are in denial till the reports start coming in about what's happening. I'm going to read some of them to you already. But I think a lot of people in the country went through shock. Then they went through grief. Then they went through anger. And now they're going through denial. They're trying to say to themselves, it's not as bad. It just can't be as bad as it appears. It just can't be that bad, preacher. If there's some way tonight I could raise a wand and stop all that's happened and reverse time and go back and stop those jets from flying into those buildings, I'd do it in a heartbeat. But I can't do that. I can't change time. I can't change what's happened. But I can tell you what's going to happen. Raymond Bennett in his book, Philistine. It's right back here. If you ever read another book outside of the Bible, I suggest you read Philistine. It's written by Raymond Bennett. Here's what he said in 1995. His very words. The future wars are certainly Islamic inspired, of great magnitude, and with incomprehensible death tolls. Was he right?
Amen. Amen.
He was exactly right. Islamic inspired, great magnitude, and incomprehensible death tolls. When I tell you what they got planned for you, you'll understand. Knowing our enemy, knowing who we face, I must admit that for a week now I've thought, well, we've got a bunch of ragtag terrorists over there in Afghanistan. We got a little Mickey Mouse army over there. We got a bunch over there that want to go over there and we're going to hit them with high-tech weapons and we're going to get these penetrating bombs. And they've been talking, these generals are talking about how they got a bomb that goes down and an initial explosion is it opens a hole, digs itself down in the ground, then it explodes. Once it's dug into the bunker and gets down inside, then it lets loose with a real warhead. The first one is just to dig a hole. The second one is once it gets in there, it literally melts everything around it. And I thought to myself, well, there's no cave that Bin Laden can hide in that can hide from a bomb like that. They'll get in there and they'll get him out. And the reason I think of that's because I'm ignorant. Knowing the enemy. 23 September. That's today. From the Dedka file. This is the Israeli intelligence.
Amen.
By the way, I told you this morning that in Saudi Arabia, King Fahd had been flown out of the country. And that there was an uprising in his family, and that somebody had taken over, and that they'd stopped the U.S. from landing. Now it's coming out on the news wires. I also told you that in Egypt, that Hosni Mubarak had reneged, had backed off, and do you know what's happening now? He's already gone to Iran and Iraq, and he's starting to join alliance with them. Yes, publicly. Yes, these moderate Arabs over here that we counted on to be our friends in this thing. And now it's public knowledge. Now it's on the wires. You can read it anywhere. You can read it on any wire source. This is Dedka file.
Amen.
I'm beginning to put a lot of stock in what these people say.
Amen.
They're coming out with information a day or two ahead of where it comes anywhere else. Listen to this. 23 September. As U.S. Sea Air, Armadas, destroyers, air fleets, and special service units speed east to make war on terrorism, the opposition makes its own preparations quietly and in the dark. The ex-Saudi terror master Osama bin Laden is generally presented as being on the run, dodging with a small band from one hideout to another in the Yaruza Mountains north of Kahandar and south of Hindu Kush to escape the mighty force out to get him. Some reports place him hiding in Somalia. The truth is that no one, including Western intelligence agencies, knows where he is. What Dedka files intelligence and military sources can say is that bin Laden and his senior commanders, far from giving up the fight, are in fact busy preparing their next offensive against the U.S., Britain. And then he goes in to tell you how that bin Laden's method of operation is ancient. You see, he comes from an Arabic culture. And hundreds of years ago, Arabia raised up two warriors that defeated the West. One of them was Caliph Omar in the 7th century. The other one was Saladin in the 11th century. These two Muslim commanders and kings literally defeated the West. And at their time, and is still used to this day, instead of using telecommunications and electricity and so forth, which they didn't have, they used runners, thereby able to keep secrecy and communicate among themselves. And so today, bin Laden uses a method that's proven, tried, and true. Listen to what he says. Dedka files military and intelligence sources report that bin Laden's courier, squad of half a dozen runners, went into action on September the 9th, 2 days before the four hijacked airliners rammed the World Trade Center, New York, and the Pentagon in Washington. They spread out in two destinations. One group headed for the Islamic madrasas, Islamic schools and colleges of Afghanistan, where 40,000 of the more than 1 million students, Afghans and foreigners, have embraced the jihad mission under bin Laden's leadership. I've told you over and over what a jihad is. That's a holy war. 40,000 Afghans and foreigners have embraced the jihad mission under bin Laden's leadership. A second group went round the 10,000 madrasas of Pakistan, where bin Laden can count on another 70,000 jihad devotees. These schools are not colleges in the Western sense, but training and indoctrination academies, breeding militant zealots for battle and self-sacrifice. These future recruits to bin Laden's Muslim International are subjected to rigorous training disciplines in guerrilla and urban combat, sabotage, the making and use of bombs, simple weaponry for use against planes, helicopters, and tanks, and endurance in harsh conditions deprived of water and food for long periods. These are not fat, plump, soft, smooth troopers living in air-conditioned barracks. These are hardened, disciplined soldiers. This is not a ragged rabble, but a well-drilled, dedicated Islamic legion of at least 110,000 zealots, raring to take on Western armies, and unafraid of elite U.S. Delta, Rangers, and SEALs, or British SAS commandos descending on their strongholds. Is this true? What source do I go to say otherwise? Who do I appeal to? NBC, CBS, and ABC? They've spent a week now. The major networks have spent a solid week in religion. How many agree with me tonight? They have spent a week in religion. One religion, mind you. They become very religious. A week of it. Is this true? Indeed, some of the instructors teaching the students the arts of war may have received their own training at the hands of American Muslim commando instructors attached at different periods to the U.S. 101st or 82nd Airborne Divisions. How these Muslim Americans reached the most violent Islamic training grounds in the world will be described elsewhere. So apparently they're going to come up with this later because I couldn't find elsewhere. Debka files military sources confirm, listen carefully, at least one initial engagement between U.S. elite forces who have crossed from neighboring Tajikistan, a former Soviet republic, into southeast Afghanistan since Saturday. There's already been a conflict. September the 22nd. They were led through the mountains by Russian intelligence officers familiar with Afghan frontier terrain and Tajik and Pushtun smugglers associated with Russian intelligence. There was another brush Saturday between British SAS units who entered Afghanistan from the north and linked up with the Afghan general Rashid Dostum and Uzbek and the bin Laden band. Members of the British force penetrated Afghan military lines and reached the outskirts of Kabul. I'm going to read on. And it doesn't get better. Debka files military sources are quite clear that the coming war will be fought both inside and outside Afghanistan. That its tempo, scale, arena, and intensity will not be dictated by the Americans alone. Al-Qaeda is an international association of allied groups operating many parts of the world. Its top commanders are thus and thus and thus. On top of the 3,500 hardcore commanders and 110,000 Afghan and Pakistani troops, Al-Qaeda retains another 6,400 commanders in 12 centers. North Africa, Yemen, Saudi Arabia names all these. In North Africa, together with its closest ally, the Egyptian Jihad Islami, some 2,500 hardcore fighting men, so forth and so on. Here's the summation of the article. According to conservative estimates, the millionaire terrorist could most probably rally around the world roughly the same number of fighting men as those flocking to his flag in Afghanistan and Pakistan, namely an army of over 200,000 men. That's why the United States of America has been taking days and days and days and days. They got a computer too. And they have intelligence. That's why they didn't run over there in 2 or 3 days and start shooting with 2 or 3,000 troops. That's why they've been building up and 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 building up. It's because they know they've got a formidable foe over there waiting for them. Which means that we ought to do some real praying about our boys because they're going in harm's way. They're going to a war. A real war. Heavy-duty war. This is why these commanders, and we ought to have trust, we ought to know these generals up here, if they'll let the generals fight, they'll fight. And these men have been preparing the logistics, the support, and all the necessary networks to go to combat. We've got 4 carriers over there in the Persian Gulf right now that they tell us about. All I know is what I read in the papers. And there's no telling what's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you this. we're facing already a first-class war. A war. And Revelation chapter number 6 and verse number 3 has come alive. This is not a war like Vietnam. This is not a war like Korea. This is not a war like World War II. This is a war where your enemy can be here today and over there tomorrow. And over here and over here and over here. And then over here and over here and over here. And then he can be in Boston. Because the Attorney General of the United States warned the mayor and the governor, the mayor of Boston, the governor of Massachusetts, that a terrorist attack was possible this past Saturday. Thank God it didn't happen. But it could be that they're playing with him and the attack will come. Some of the things that I've been reading are remarkable. In verse number 5, the Bible says this. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I behold, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on it, and a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. What have you had here? You got famine. You got famine. You got a time of suffering. War will bring suffering. We've always seen the suffering and the famine overseas. We get our nightly TV bites, and we see the kids dying in Somalia with their swollen stomachs and this and that from hunger. But we never imagined that something like that could happen in the United States. I hope it never does. But I think things may change quickly. Did you know this past week our stock market lost more money than it ever lost in any 1 week time in its history? Amen. 1 week? Do you realize the stock market in this country is suffering, is in right now, is what you might call, is in just chaos? And that they're trying to make it sound good so they can pull it back together, and I hope they pull it together. But who knows what will happen tomorrow morning when that bell sounds and they open up again. Those stocks may continue to fall. It's really a buyer's market. But the thing is, if it continues to fall, what are you buying? What will happen to our country, preacher? I believe right now if America got on its face and began to cry out to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and call on the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe if it really had prayer meetings and services out here in these stadiums, and I mean had somebody get up there and start telling them about Jesus and talk to the God that can help them, I believe that God could save America. Amen. But not what's happening right now. Not at all. I want you to notice again in verse number 8. And I looked and behold a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death and Hell. Followed him. Death and Hell. Yeah. Did you know that Indonesia is the largest Muslim nation in the world? It's the largest in the world. Indonesia. This is what happened in Indonesia. Radical Islamic groups in the world's most populous Muslim nation are rallying in support of Osama bin Laden. Illustrating how last week's deadly violence in the U.S. could spread even to traditionally moderate Muslim countries. In Asia. In plainer words, the Arab coalition that our president and our leaders are trying to pull together is coming apart. And death is in the streets. Japan is on guard. Washington suspects that a group led by fugitive Saudi-born millionaire bin Laden has been contemplating attacks using biological and chemical weapons, such as sarin nerve gas for years, according to the sources quoted by GG. United States' information, the group has already acquired small airplanes to spray bacteria causing smallpox or anthrax from the air. That's in Europe. The targets of the possible attacks were unknown, but possibilities include members of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization and Pakistan, Gigi said. Over there, they're getting ready. The U.S. warns of chance of attack this week. Tokyo Reuters. The United States has warned its allies of a possible second round of attacks by the end of this week. That's this coming week, today being the first of it, following the deadly strikes on New York and Washington. That's what I'm worried about right now. I'm worried about what's coming this coming week and the following week and the following week. And I'm not worried about what's going to happen to the earth because I know I'm leaving this earth. But there's an awful lot of people that's got their stock down here yet. They haven't broken loose from it. Crop duster manual discovered. Sources tell Time magazine that U.S. officials suspect that bin Laden conspirators may have been planning to disperse biological or chemical agents from crop dusting planes. Where? Right here in America. The discoveries added to concerns among government counterterrorism experts that bin Laden conspirators may have been planning or may still be planning to disperse biological or chemical agents from a crop dusting plane normally used for agricultural purposes. Would he do that? Would he turn loose that on you? Would he turn anthrax loose on our nation? Do you know any hundreds of thousands of people that something like that could kill? Terrorists may have briefcases, nuclear bombs, and even handheld nuclear weapons. Handheld. What if the Arab terrorists used a weapon not contemplated before, at least in print? Clinton changed nuclear response strategy. Quoted from a book entitled Through the Eyes of the Enemy, written by Stanislav Lunev, a former Soviet GRU intelligence agent who defected. In this book, he describes the capabilities of the Russian GRU service regarding nuclear weapons. He stated that the Russians might have already deployed nuclear weapon bombs called RA-115s and RA-115-1 suitcase bombs around selected American cities. These bombs were made to look like a rock or a log or a small tree. Their actual size is so small they're called suitcase bombs. Such a bomb could devastate a radius of 5 miles. You could drive down the interstate next to Shea Stadium and set off that bomb and kill everybody in Shea Stadium. Thousands of people by these nuclear devices. Would they use a nuclear weapon against us? Listen to this. The Pentagon said to I nuclear attack against terrorists. The Japan Times report, September the 23rd, 2001. What is that date? That's today. The Defense Department has recommended to President George W. Bush the use of tactical nuclear weapons as a military option to retaliate for last week's terrorist attacks in the United States, diplomatic sources said Tuesday. It is unknown whether Bush has made any decision. Military analysts said the president is unlikely to opt for the use of nuclear weapons because doing so would generate a backlash from the international community and could even trigger revenge from the enemy involving weapons of mass destruction. However, the Pentagon's suggestion shows the determination of U.S. officials to retaliate for the first massive terrorist attacks on the U.S. mainland. The analyst said, the recommendation appears intended to deter terrorists, they said. Someone said to me just a little while ago that if they aimed their bomb at Mecca and Medina and the Dome of the Rock, and they said to all the Islamic community, the next terrorist attack we get from you, you'll no longer have a place of worship. It'll be gone. You said, would they do such a thing? Listen, when it comes to survival, folks, when it comes to survival, when it comes down to the naked law of the flesh, the primeval law of nature, when it comes down to survival, it is dog eat dog. When it comes down to the survival of a nation, Israel right now is on 100% war footing. And they haven't said anything publicly about it. But they are prepared 100%. And Israel, they say, probably has the second or the third largest arsenal of nuclear weapons in the world. And they will not hesitate to unleash unspeakable fire upon their enemies. In the book of Obadiah, I want you to turn with me tonight, and I want you to read a prophecy from Obadiah. In the Old Testament follows Amos. And I'm finding it too, so we'll all have time to get to it together. The book of Obadiah, in verse number 15, it only has one chapter. I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen.
I'm glad if I go up there tonight and lay my head on the bed and a nuclear air burst takes place right over the top of the house, and I get vaporized, and everybody in Knoxville gets vaporized, I'll be hearing the angels shouting and singing and glory to God and walking on streets of gold. That's peace, you know it. I haven't felt fear in this. I felt excitement in it. Is that wrong? Am I perverted? Am I distorted? Am I warped? It's been excitement, not fear. He's coming, brother. He's coming. Listen to this in Obadiah, verse 15. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. My. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down. They shall be as though they had not been. They're drinking on this mountain right now. That holy mountain is where that mosque is sitting. That's what he's talking about. In Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, the city of David, where that angel came down, the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite, thousands of years before Muhammad was ever born. Israel had a location right there, had a name, had a place, had the Lord God. In verse number 17, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them, and devour them. And there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. I'm going to finish up with our scenario we gave you this morning. There's a pagan shrine sitting on the Temple Mount. The Lord whom you serve shall suddenly come to His temple. He can't come to a temple that's not there. In order to build the temple, that shrine's got to go. You can't take that shrine down. You've got 1 billion Muslims in the world that would immediately declare war. Hold on, they already have. They already have. They declared war against a nation that was founded on Christian principles. Against a country that has had thousands of men and women go out across the face of this earth and carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. That at this very moment, this country holds His child, His baby, His bride, His love. At this very moment, the one most precious to Him on all the face of the earth is residing in this nation. That's His bride. And He's going to come and get her. He's going to come and get her. But you see, these Muslims have already stirred up the giant. They've awakened the sleeping giant. They've started a war. They started a war. After Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, it's too late then. They started the war. You remember back there, the War of Mexico? When Texas was fighting for its independence? It wasn't a state. Texas was not a state. It was a republic. Texas started out as a sovereign republic. And Santa Anna, with 5,000 plus troops, was across the border, and he was coming to the north. And a bunch of men, a handful, 200 or 300, I forget what it was, a little Spanish mission called the Alamo, stood between him and Texas. And Sam Houston was away building an army. But he needed time. And so Davy Crockett, that Tennessean that was born and raised right here, Davy Crockett took a bunch of Tennesseans down there, and they went to that mission, and they got in there behind those walls, and they got together with those Texans, and they said, we're going to fight with you. We're going to fight against the oppressor. We're going to fight for the sovereignty of this sovereign country, Texas. Most people in the country don't realize Texas did not start as a state. It started as a country. Santa Anna came with his thousands of troops, and after days, he overran it, and he killed all the men. And then after that, Sam Houston raised his army. And I believe it was the Battle of San Jacinto. He met Santa Anna. And the battle cry, there's always a battle cry. In World War II, our boys went overseas with a battle cry. Remember, remember, remember. Remember those boys down there in those battleships dead in the bottom of the ocean. Remember Pearl Harbor. Well, they went into the battle cry, remember the Alamo. Well, there's a battle cry now. There's a battle cry. There's blood in their eye. These Muslims have started their war. They wanted one, they got it now. And that's remember New York. And remember Washington. And remember those brave boys over there in Pennsylvania. Remember them. And it's going to be a battle. But they got something to fight about now. And when they fight, they're going to fight. And this country can fight. It can fight.
Amen. Amen.
And it's going to fight.
Amen.
And according to my Bible, these Muslims are going to lose.
Amen.
And when they lose, they're going to lose their Temple Mount.
Amen.
And when they lose their Temple Mount, the Jew's going to get his temple.
Amen. Come on.
And when he builds his temple, he's going to get his Messiah.
Yes.
His Messiah is going to come to his temple.
Yes,
and when his Messiah comes to his temple, they're going to look upon him whom they have pierced.
Yes.
They're going to mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son.
Yes, yes.
And they're going to say, Lord God Almighty, this is not what we expected. But it's going to be the one that comes to it.
Amen.
He's going to be the Lord of lords and the King of kings.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
It's what it's all about. Who is he? Amen. And he comes to his temple.
Yes, yes.
When he comes to his temple, he walks into that temple. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple.
Amen.
And my friend, from that day forth, a Jew will always know who Jesus is.
Yes, yes. Amen.
But somewhere in there, we go up.
Yes, amen.
Somewhere in there, we leave.
Yes, yes.
Where do we leave, preacher? It's when this man of sin rises up. This son of perdition, this wicked one, this Antichrist. And he signs a covenant. And God said, I'll disannul your covenant with death and hell.
Amen.
He signed a covenant with Israel. He has the power to do it now.
Yes.
For the Muslim is subjugated. And they sign the covenant. And brother, listen. The moment that covenant is signed, the clock ticks 7 years. Tick, 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 exactly from the moment that is signed. But any time before that, a period of a week, a month, year, 2 years, 3 years, we could go up. So when is the rapture going to take place, preacher? Any time. Any time. Any time. Because they may be signing a covenant in 2 years. Or a year. They may be. They may be. Let me tell you what kind of people we're dealing with from Great Britain. You know what a pitcher is? A pitcher? A pitcher? P-I-C-T-U-R-E. Picture. Back when the Romans fought in the British Isles, Hadrian built a wall up there. Anybody's ever seen Hadrian's Wall? Know what I'm talking about? Have a clue. There's a wall all the way across Great Britain. You know why he put that wall up there? To keep the Picts from the north away from his troops. Here's what they'd do. The Picts were such a vicious, vicious band of warriors that they would come down upon those Roman troops. And the Roman troops would take a spear and he'd put that spear down there to stop them, and the Pict in the front would jump on that spear, jump on it, ram it through him, so his buddy in the back could come across and slit his throat. That's the kind of warrior that came out of Great Britain. How many ever read about that war that took place down there when they took the Falklands?
That's right.
You read about that war? Venezuela? Argentina. Those Argentines down there took those troops and they put them over there in the Falklands and they stationed them and they were ready. And Margaret Thatcher sent her convoy of ships down there. And it took them a couple of weeks to get down there.
Right.
And these troops were down there. These Argentine troops were down there defending and ready. Did you know what they said? They said when those British troops came ashore and started coming after them that they thought they were in hell. They had never seen such vicious troops in their life as those men who came after them. They came after them and literally ran them off that island. Vicious fighters. So the Muslim, he's mad. He's bad. He can cut your throat.
Right.
He can blow you up.
He will. Amen.
He can. But he's up against an army.
Right.
That'll fight him.
Amen.
And it's all prophesied right here in the book.
Yes, sir.
It's going to come to an end soon.
Amen.
I hope you're ready tonight. Father, I pray in Jesus' name you'd use what little I've said now for the glory of God. Help my brothers and sisters. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd speak to some soul that's not ready. They're not ready, Lord. They go to bed with fear at night. They know something bad has happened and something worse is going to happen. And my Heavenly Father, they're not ready. And I pray tonight in Jesus' name, speak to their soul and convict them. For Jesus' sake, I pray.